We are starting a new sermon series today. And we've been going through the Gospels, so I thought, hey, why not change it up? I actually asked the Lord, can you believe it? I sometimes speak to the Lord about sermons. And I said, Lord, give me an Old Testament sermon series. And you can ask the elders, we meet, and they say, Brett, how's it going? And I'm like, oh, I'm getting there. I want to hear, I don't know about you, I want to hear from the Lord. I don't want to do like, this is my great idea. I actually want to hear, Lord, what do you want to say to us? And I feel this is from the Lord. And it's a series I've entitled, Living by Faith in Changing Times. And I don't know about you, but every week the world seems to be different. You know, when I was young, the world was like the same. It wasn't long ago, because I'm still young. You know what I mean? It wasn't much longer. The world seemed to be the same. But today, I want to say, if someone says to you, I know what the world will be like next week, I'm going to say you're talking nonsense. You do not know what the world is going to be like next week. It changes literally weekly. And so, how do we live by faith in a changing world? Well, I'm glad you asked. So, if you're making notes in your paper notebook with a pen or pencil, you should know, do the research. That's actually good for your brain. It's actually better than typing it on your phone. If you don't believe me, go and research it and you'll say, oh, Brad was right. And so, mom and dads, if you're here with children, I want to encourage you to encourage them to physically use pen and paper. Go and do the research. Digital devices are good, but they're also not so good. Writing does more for your brain than you'll realize. Anyway, that's my last little punt. And so, anyway, those smart people who are writing on paper this morning, here's the title for my sermon. Why does it seem like God does nothing? And you all said, I've been there or I'm there. Trust me. Why does it seem like God does nothing? And then if you've got a paper Bible, let's just not get into that. Turn with me to Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk. And it's very easy. It's in the Old Testament. Matthew, if you want to, you know what's easiest? Go backwards from Matthew. Matthew is the New Testament. Matthew, Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai, Zephaniah, and Habakkuk. I don't know why they got those names, but they did. Habakkuk, there we go. Oh, see, I had a little ribbon in it. I'm going to read from the NLT version, and I want to read chapter 1, 17 verses. This is the message that the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. And it says, if you've got little headings, it says, Habakkuk's complaint. Hey, come on, we've all complained before the Lord. Don't get all holy on me now. You've complained to God before. How do I know? Because I do it weekly. I complain. Yo, Lord. You know, this could actually be me speaking. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? Come on, we've all been there. How long? I can hear Habakkuk. You know what? When you read it, you must give it like some like you know Habakkuk. I can imagine Habakkuk sitting on his veranda with coffee and an Omar Rusk. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? Because he's in trouble, this boy. But you do not listen. Now, first of all, it can sound irreverent. Come on, you can't say that to God. I can. Why? Because Habakkuk did. And God didn't strike him with lightning. So, you do not listen. Violence is everywhere. I cry out, I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed. Come on. You're saying, hey, Brad, are you reading from yesterday's newspaper? Come on. Now I lost my place. Ah. And there's no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. The Lord's reply. This is now the heading. So Habakkuk whines. Now the Lord replies. The Lord replied. Look around at the nations. Look and be amazed. For I am doing something in my own day, something you wouldn't believe, even if someone told you about it. I'm raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. They will march across the world and conquer other lands. They are notorious for their cruelty and do whatever they like. Their horses are swifter than cheetahs and fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their charioteers charge from far away. Like eagles, they swoop down to devour their prey. I'm like, Lord, this is not what I'm like, Lord, looking for as an answer. Oh, they come, all bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind, sweeping captives ahead of them like sand. They scoff at kings and princes and scorn all their fortresses. They simply pile ramps of earth against their walls and capture them. They sweep past the wind and are gone. But they are deeply guilty, for their own strength is their God. Habakkuk's second complaint. I don't know about you, I would also have a second complaint. Oh, Lord, my God, my Holy One. Hey, come on. He's now. Okay. Lord, my God, my Holy One. You who are eternal. Sure. Now, this is how I think he was speaking. Lord, my God, my Holy One. You who are eternal. Surely you don't plan to wipe us out, because that's what Habakkuk says. He thinks the Lord is coming. Israel, gone. What he's thinking. Oh Lord, our rock, you have sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for our many sins, but you are pure and cannot stand the sight of evil. Will you wink at their treachery? Man, I love that. You know what we think? Hey, you know what? If I just do this quickly, the Lord won't notice. Hey, if I just disobey him here, it'll be okay. The Lord does not wink at treachery. You know what that means? He sees everything. I've lost my place again. Yeah. 13. Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? So he's saying, should wicked people get away with it? You know, righteous people, right standing with God. We are only fish to be caught and killed. We only see creatures that have no leader. Must we be strung up on their hooks? Because that's how evil the Babylonians were. They'd catch you and hang you up on a hook. And caught in their nets while they rejoice and celebrate. Then they will worship their nets and burn incense in front of them. These nets are the gods who have made us rich, they will claim. Will you let them get away with this forever? Will they succeed forever in their heartless conquests? Lord, it looks like you're doing nothing. That's what he's saying. Lord, what's going on? What is going on? I'm sure many of you have never heard a sermon out of Habakkuk. Well, you're going to hear five over the next 5 weeks. Why? It's a very short book, 3 chapters. But I think you're going to come and see it's so contemporary in our situation today and its application for you and I. We know almost nothing about Habakkuk. We don't even know actually how to pronounce his name. It's an Arcadian name. I know you're looking confused. Yeah, me too, because I read it in a commentary. But the Arcadians, this I do know, the Arcadians were a nation that lasted 150 years before being swallowed up by Babylon. So their nation had a very short time. They do have a claim to fame, though. They invented a postal system with clay-sealed envelopes. So, all of you that used to post letters, you can thank the Arcadians. If someone says Habakkuk, you go, nah, 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 nah. Surely you mean Habakkuk. And someone else might pop up, you got it wrong, it's Habakkuk. To which I would respond, you're all right, because no one actually knows how to say the name. Because you'd have to be fluent in Arcadian to know. And if you tell me you're fluent, I'd say you're talking nonsense, because that language disappeared in 800 BC. No one today knows how to speak Arcadian. So, the way you want to say Habakkuk, go for it. You're quite right. As we look in this first chapter, I want to divide it into 4 sections in this first chapter. First of all, number 1, what Habakkuk saw.
Secondly, what Habakkuk did. Thirdly, what Habakkuk heard from the Lord. And then lastly, what's the application for you and I?
And so let's jump right in. So firstly, what Habakkuk saw. Verse 3. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. I've got to tell you, you turn the TV on to news, what do you see? Arguing and fighting. I just turn the TV off. I've had enough of this. People argue over every small thing. Someone says something, someone argues about it. They say the right thing, they argue about it. They say the wrong thing, they argue about it. I'm like, actually, I'm tired of this.
King Josiah was regarded as one of the good kings of Judah. But and he gave hope to the kingdom. If you go and read about King Josiah, he gave hope to the kingdom, to the nation of Israel. But then he had two sons, and those sons became terrible kings. And so there was moral corruption and injustice in the nation of Israel. And that's why Habakkuk says in verse 4, the Lord's become paralyzed. There was so much corruption and moral decay in that nation that Habakkuk said, God, your law, it's talking about God's law. Your law's become paralyzed. People disobey you left, right, and center. There were military threats on their borders, and the times were evil. He just said, I can't, Lord, why are you doing it? Why are you letting this happen? But he not only sees the evil times around him, he also sees, it appears, God's doing nothing. And we're like, Lord, you're just letting this happen. Now, come on, I don't know, I've been there, I don't know about you. I've been there a few times, Lord, why is this happening? He says, and then he goes on. He says, Lord, you're not listening to me. Come on. God is God. Not to be trifled with or toyed with. I sometimes fear the world toys with God. And I say, gosh, Lord. You know what I want to say to you? When I hear some of the things that go on, I say, Lord, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Don't toy with the Lord. But Habakkuk says, Lord, you're not listening. You're not doing anything about it. Why are you tolerating it? Sometimes you feel like God is just tolerating the world. In many respects, this could be you and me crying out to God. Lord, do you see what's going on around us? And you're doing nothing about it. That's what Habakkuk saw. That's what he saw. Secondly, what did Habakkuk do? Because we can see, now how do we respond to that as believers? How did he respond? To understand how Habakkuk responded, we've got to see two things that he did. He was bold and he was honest. You know, you look in the Psalms and you see boldness and honesty from those psalmists speaking to the Lord. Go and read David's Psalms. David was like this. He was bold and honest before the Lord, but he was reverent. At the end of each psalm where David whined to the Lord, you'd see, but Lord, you are the creator of the universe. He knew his place. But it didn't mean that he didn't have to complain and moan. I call it wrestling with the Lord. Wrestling with the Lord is different. When we wrestle, we're seeking to understand. Violence is everywhere. You're not coming to save us. That's what Habakkuk is saying. And so he's saying, why are you letting evil and injustice reign? And God answers in verses 5 to 11. So now you can imagine now Habakkuk, prophet, talking to the Lord. Lord, you're not listening to me. Look at all this violence around me. Look at what's happening to our nation. Our nation's in moral disrepair. There's injustice everywhere. And God gives his answer, 5 to 11. I'm raising up the Babylonians. You go, what? I'm raising up the Babylonians. I'm raising up the most ruthless, bloodthirsty people the world has ever seen. And they were, history tells us. And they're going to sweep across the world. And they're going to come and crush and conquer the nation of Israel. Come on. You in South Africa, the Lord says, listen, I'm going to bring a nation from the north.
They're going to be the most violent and cruelest people you've ever seen in your life, and they're going to come and crush you and conquer you. I don't like that answer.
And Habakkuk is surprised by the answer because he says, surely you're not going to wipe us out. Surely you're not going to wipe us out.
And you and I can learn here from Habakkuk. He's not being argumentative or disrespectful. He's wrestling with God to understand why God is doing it. Why are you going to bring the Babylonians? Why are they going to crush us? Why are they going to conquer us? He wants to hear from the Lord. I'm like that. We like that. We get to a place where we surrender ourselves to the Lord. And we come to the inescapable conclusion. How's that word I quickly got? The inconcludable solution. God's arm cannot be twisted. I don't know if you know that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this and that and that and that and that, because then the Lord will do that. Good luck. God's arm cannot be twisted. The way forward is to get into His groove. Get into what He is doing. What is His plan and His way forward, and get behind it. Even when it feels like all the dents we've got from all the knocks, get with God. So the Apostle Paul understood this. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. You see that? We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. And so, Habakkuk saw what he did. Thirdly, what did he hear from the Lord? Verse 5 and 6, this is crucial. The Lord replied, look at the nations, look and be amazed. For I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe, even if someone told you about it. I'm raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people, march across the world, conquer all lands. So Habakkuk says, why all this injustice? Why aren't you saving us? God says, hot tip, I'm bringing more injustice, more cruelty, more violence. But that's how I'm going to work out my salvation in the world. To which Habakkuk replies, ish. I would not do it that way. I don't know about you. I would certainly not bring salvation to the world this way. We could be saying, really, Lord? If this is a good plan, I'm not seeing it. He says, Lord, you were going to bring salvation to the world through the nation of Israel. Yes. Yet Israel's turned into this corrupt, evil nation. I've asked you to do something about it. And what you've said is, I'm going to come crush them. Not cool. God says, I'm going to do it. But you're not going to understand what I'm doing. I'm going to raise up these terrible people. They're going to come and crush the Jews and take them into exile. And Habakkuk says, is that an answer? And the Lord says, yes, it's my answer. But, you see, we can see history. We can see what Habakkuk could not see. And this is what happened. If the Jews were never taken into exile in Babylon, they would never have spread throughout the Babylonian Empire. Then the Greeks came along, conquered them, brought with them a language everyone came to learn. So for the first time ever in the world, everyone could communicate in the same language and write books that everyone could understand. Then the Romans came along, they conquered everyone, and they built the roads for the gospel to go to the outermost ends of the earth. Now we see God's plan in perspective. Now we see it. In other words, in the succession of dominant world powers, Syrians, Babylonians, Greeks, and Romans, if they hadn't arisen, Christianity would not have spread the way it did. Here's the irony. The violence of all these great nations led to the good news of Christ spreading to every nation. You think Habakkuk could have seen that? No. We can.
And so we can learn from it. You see, we couldn't have had that perspective that God had. Habakkuk couldn't have had that perspective. So when we see some stuff in front of us and we're perplexed and confused, how can it be for the good of the kingdom? Maybe the impact will only be noticed decades later. We can only see it in hindsight. Joseph, little daddy's boy. You know Joseph and Technicolor Dreamcoat? He was a daddy's boy. Let me tell you, Joseph was a little cupcake. He was a snotkop. He was on his way to become a little brat when you go and read about Joseph. What no one knew is that many, many, many years later, a famine would come across the land and it would decimate the land. But if not for Joseph. Because of Joseph, Jacob and his descendants did not perish. And the nation of Israel came about. Who could have seen a snotkop would actually come and save the nation of Israel? Only God could have seen that. And let me tell you, Joseph matured. Sometimes when you and I snotkops, the Lord comes along and he wants us to mature. I don't want to say he brings hard times. I don't want to even say that. But sometimes the Lord comes, he uses his way. Hey, should I even say this? Yeah, I'm going to. To knock the snot out of us. To make us more like he created us to be. See, we don't like that. We don't like the fact that the word says that God will chastise us. Not to punish us, to make us into the person he created us to be. He's a good father. He's a good father. God intervenes. 20 years of misery for Joseph. That's a long time. Sold into slavery, put in prison, everything went wrong. But when you look back, God was doing everything right. He was preserving the nation of Israel. And then we can sit here and say, don't get it. I want to know. Sometimes we don't. I've got to understand God for this to make sense. I want you just to remember something. God is all powerful, all knowing, all present. He's everywhere at once. He knows the future. He knows everything about what goes on in the world every second of every day. How on earth can we think we can make sense of God sometimes? But we try. I want to say, take a deep breath, love, and relax. Relax in the Lord. Because, oh no, I don't want to say the scripture. I'm going to say it later. Wait. Because then it has more impact later, not right now. Number four, what's the application to you and I? What it does say is that God says, I'm going to do something in your day you will not believe. I'm doing something out there in the nations you're going to not believe. I'm going to bring salvation out of judgment. That's actually what he's saying. And then hundreds of years later, Paul, Acts 13, verses 38 to 41. I'm going to say it. Brothers, listen. Brothers and sisters. Listen. Paul must have been a South African somewhere. Because, you know, we all say that. Hey, listen. People in the world go, don't be like you're being arrogant. Listen. Brothers and sisters, listen. We are here to proclaim that through this man Jesus, there's forgiveness for your sins. Everyone who believes in him is made right in God's sight. Something the law of Moses could never do. Be careful. Don't let the prophet's words apply to you, for they said, look, you mockers, be amazed and die. And then Paul does something remarkable. He quotes from Habakkuk. For I am doing something in your own day. This is the Lord speaking. Something you wouldn't believe, even if someone told you about it. Our bell's ringing. Definitely, but please don't ring this grace or bells right now. Paul, quoting from Habakkuk, is remembering what happened there, but he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus here. We can say, wait a minute, he was talking about the Babylonians. Yes. What Paul is saying, he says the same thing is happening here with Jesus. The same thing. That's why the Old Testament continues into the New Testament. It's one Bible. Don't divide it up into the old stuff and the new stuff. The old stuff reveals the new stuff. Comes out. And so what he's saying is that what God said to Habakkuk, I can bring good out of evil, and I can bring salvation and redemption out of injustice and wrongdoing and suffering, its ultimate expression is in Jesus Christ. When Habakkuk says, God, I don't understand why you put up with injustice, how can you bring salvation out of injustice? God says, on the cross. On the cross, it's finally explained. People standing in front of the cross and looking at Jesus and saying, I don't see what good God can bring from this. Why? They didn't understand what God was doing. Jesus had to die on the cross for salvation to occur. Habakkuk reveals this to you and I. God is a good God and a holy God. And when we think God's making a big blups, he's not. He can never make a blups. We thought we might, we in our current circumstances, we think, how can God even be in this? I want to say to you, God is in it. How can God be what's happening around the world? God is in it. That's where our faith lies. He's a good Father and a good God, an almighty God. Nothing catches him by surprise. That's my verse now. Now it's time for my verse. Romans 8:28. You have to tattoo this on the inside of your eyelids. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and called according to his purpose. Tattoo it on the inside so you see it all the time, because that explains Habakkuk. That explains the cross. You see, it's not a matter. Let me just hang in there until God does his thing. No. It's a matter of having faith in a God who's faithful while he does his thing. Amen? Actually, that last thing you can put on a fridge magnet. Definitely. I wonder if we can just bow our heads. I'd love to pray for us. Who would have thought you could get that from Habakkuk? Lord, I want to thank you for being with us even when we feel you're not there. Because you have said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you're feeling right now, I don't know where God is, I want to tell you, he's right next to you. His presence is with you no matter where you find yourself. I pray, Father, teach us how to deal with these times. It looks like evil and injustice is winning, but we know that you turn all things for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And so, Father, I pray that we would continue to look at Jesus and remember this. Help us to remember our faith is in a God who works all things for good for his kingdom and all good things for those who love you. I pray, Father, that in times where our faith wanes, I ask you, Father, to increase our faith. Show us, Lord, that no matter what is around us, no matter what we're facing, your hand is upon us. Nothing gets past you. So, Lord, I want to give you all praise this morning. For you're a good Father and a good God. Amen.